for those who want to dig deep and grow strong. This is the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and teacher, Jeff Kinley. It's time to power up your faith and take your walk to the next level. Now, here's Jeff with today's podcast.
Okay, we're talking about courageous faith here on the Vintage Truth Podcast, and I'm so excited that you've joined me. Perhaps this is your first time to listen, or maybe you've kind of been catching up on episodes. As I mentioned last time, there's over 360 different Bible study episodes so far that you can participate in this thing. And if this ministry of Bible teaching has meant something new, has enriched your life, then please help me tell the world about it, help others about it, know about it. Over 86 countries now are tuning in places and countries I've never even heard of. And I don't know how they find me, but they're listening. I've got a pretty huge audience in France and Canada and obviously United States and over in Australia and all across Europe, Israel, just many, many places that obviously I'll never go to. But if this podcast has meant something to you, then please help me spread the word. And secondly, please consider supporting this podcast ministry financially. You can go to the Vintage Truth app there and download that on your iPhone or your Android device, and you can make a donation, a one-time donation, or you say, "Hey, Jeff, count me in for this amount of money each month. I want to just make an automatic draft there for my account to help support this ministry, literally to get the truth of God all across the world." And now more than ever is the time we need to do that, because we are rapidly approaching a time when that may be more difficult for us to do. But for at least right now, with the Vintage Truth app, right now we've got a green light to do that through my account that I have, that I'm going to have on Apple TV and Roku as well. It'll be up on there. The podcast will eventually be up on there, I think, before too long. But the point is that I can't do this by myself. Even though I do all this work by myself, I need you to come alongside me and support me with your prayers, your encouragement, your finances. And you can do that right on the app. Just a little button there says give. Or you can go to jeffkinley.com and click on the donate tab. And the instructions are very, very simple there. If you'd like to mail a physical check, though, you can send it to the address that's listed there on the website there. All right, let's just dive into this thing, man, because this is rich stuff here. We're talking about Joshua. And as you know, Joshua was one of the two spies that one of the 12 spies, rather, that was sent into the nation of Israel the land of Israel, who came Israel, to spy out the land. And 10 of the spies came back, negative report. Two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, said, "No, we can take these guys, man. We got God on our side." And so they get to the edge of the promised land, and Moses is not allowed to go into the promised land because of something that he did. And so he dies there. He dies on the mountain there, and his body is like lost to history, and no one knows where it is. And we read about in Jude how the angel of the Lord disputed or argued or battled with the devil over the body of Moses. And that's a whole nother story. But anyway, so Moses is gone. And this leader that Israel had depended upon, had leaned upon all these years, is now gone. The old man's gone. He's 120 years old. By the way, the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy that even though he's 120, it says his strength of his eyes were not even abated. He hadn't lost any of his vision, and he was still a vigorous man. But he's gone. And so now new leadership, and God appoints Joshua, General Joshua, to be the new head leader, prophet, if you will, of Israel. And Joshua, although he wasn't officially a prophet, he acted in that role of representing the people to God in terms of his leadership of them. But I want you to see how the beginning of the book of Joshua begins, because this is like, you know, you've heard of the phrase, maybe it's time to either fish or cut bait. It just means you got to make a decision, man. There's no turning back now. You are on the edge. You made a commitment. And look what God tells him. This is like right before they enter the land. And God has something very important he wants to tell Joshua that's going to serve him well in being able to not only survive, but accomplish the mission that God has called him to. It says in verse 1, "Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise,' he says, 'and cross the Jordan.'" The Jordan was the eastern boundary of the nation of Israel, what will become the nation of Israel, the land that God had promised to them. And so they have to cross that river. Well, how are they going to do that? "Cross the river Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I'm giving to them, to the sons of Israel." By the way, if you remember, the older folks around 40 and above who didn't believe God in the wilderness, they've been disqualified from entering the land. So you've got a younger generation, a newer generation that's coming up. And you know what? That's kind of a principle too that we see God doing many times, is when people sort of get they sort of get fixed in their lethargy and their mediocrity as they get older sometimes, not all the times, but sometimes, and we've never done it that way, you know, kind of attitude kind of creeps in. And God just says, you know what? Heck with that. I'm just going to wipe the table clean, start with this new generation. And many times God will begin with a younger generation. He'll spark something in younger people that will help carry the message of God and carry the truth of God in many ways, the church of God today, forward. And my professor in seminary used to have this phrase. He said, sometimes we get what's called hardening of the categories. In other words, we get so fixed in the things that we think ought to be done certain ways that we're not open to new things. And certainly going into the land was a new thing, something they'd never done before. And it took an old generation dying off, if you will, in order for this for this new generation to take the land. By the way, after Joshua and Caleb came back with that report about the land, and people said, we don't want to do it, and God honored Caleb and Joshua, they still, the nation still wandered in the desert for about 38 years. Why did they do that? Well, number one, unbelief, they didn't want to go into the land. Number two is because God says, you're going to die in the wilderness. So, you know, if you don't want any help, you don't get any help from God. That's kind of the way God looks at it. So they had to wander in the desert to give time for all these people to die so that this new generation could come in and take the land. And then God says this. God gives Joshua a promise here. I want you to listen to this promise. He says, every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea, towards the setting of the sun will be your territory. God gave Israel this massive piece of this region of land over there in the Middle East. Look at what else God says. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. Now that's a huge thing, because Moses was the man. He was respected. He was considered to be the leader of Israel, and he is the deliverer, the redeemer of Israel. And God says, the same way that I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you, Joshua. And he says, I will not fail you or forsake you. Now think about that, that promise. I will not let you down, and I will not let you go. I will not fail you, and I will not forsake you. Isn't that exactly what the New Testament tells us about Jesus Christ? In Matthew chapter 28, right before Christ ascends to heaven after his resurrection, he says to the disciples, I am with you, even to the end of the age. Now, what's very interesting is that you look at that promise and you go, okay, Christ is with us. And by the way, we know he's with us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came down because Christ said, I'm leaving the planet, okay? But I'm going to send another allos is the word, another of the same kind to be in my place, the third member of the Godhead, the Trinity there, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to come. He's going to indwell you, and he's going to be with you. I'm going to be with you, Jesus says. But he says, till the end of the age. Not just to the end of your life. Now, that'd be cool. That's great. But to the end of the age. And so Christ is saying right now, even as we are living in the last days, I'm still with you. I'm not going to leave you. But then he says, also in the New Testament, we know that he's not going to fail us as well. And we know that from Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, which says, "He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." 2 Timothy tells us, it's either Timothy or 2 Thessalonians, check that out, when he says that he will not deny us, okay? If we don't deny him, he won't deny us. And then Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith, or the perfecter of our faith. So he takes us from inception to the end, all the way. And that's the character of God. So we're learning something about the character of God here in God's promise. And by the way, when you read the Bible and you read about what God says to people, God, through his words, is revealing who he is. He's revealing his character. So he says, "I'll be with you. I'll not fail you or forsake you." He's a faithful God. Then he says to Joshua, Joshua, here is your responsibility. Now that I've told you about my presence and my promise, here's your responsibility. "Be strong and courageous, for you will give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them." Then he repeats it. Now, wait a minute. Why would you need to repeat it? Well, for emphasis. And secondly, because Joshua's going to need to hear these words twice, just in case he might say, "Well, I imagine the Lord saying that to me." No, this is what he says. Verse 7, "Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go." And listen, God's about to ask Joshua to do some, unbelievable things. Things that no one thought could be done. He's going to conquer nations and conquer cities there that were impregnable. And the very first one is, of course, Jericho. And you hold that story of Rahab and the harlot and all that stuff. There's so much there that we could dive into, but you know the story of Jericho. When God told God told Joshua to march around the city 7 times and blow a trumpet and the walls will fall down. By the way, archaeology backs up that claim that the ancient walls of Jericho fell down flat. They weren't conquered, like pushed in like an army would do. They fell down flat, which matches the account in the Bible. But God's about to ask Joshua to do some pretty crazy things. And so he says, you have to be strong and courageous. And my friend, God is saying to me and you right now, in these days that we're living in, these are difficult days. There's a lot more than Jericho out there, a lot more than the Hittites and the Canaanites waiting for us out there. God is saying, you have to be strong. And what's coming, the persecution and the opposition and the things that are happening in our world today, just how difficult it is to live for Christ, to live righteously, to stand for what's right, you're going to need to be very strong. And all these things that are happening are basically they're going to separate the wheat from the chaff. They're going to separate the pretenders from the possessors. In other words, those who pretend to have faith and those who actually possess faith. It's going to separate those people. They're going to be weeded out because of the heat that's coming in our world. And so how are you going to do that? Well, think about this. When there's strong winds blowing against trees, what kind of trees stand and what kind of trees fall? Well, pine trees typically fall. We've had lots of pine trees fall. We went through 5 hurricanes in Alabama on the coast there for a few years. And guess what? Pine trees, massive pine trees will fall. Why? Because their roots aren't very deep. But contrast that to the 100-year-old spreading live oak that was in our backyard, virtually untouched. Hurricane winds 5 times. Didn't do anything to it. Why? Because the roots go down and they go out. And in order to be strong in your faith, your roots have to go down deep, deeper, even deeper than that. You have to keep going deeper and keep doing what God has called you to do and keep understanding, keep going through over and over again. Even the things you've learned many, many times, as Peter says, it's no trouble for me to remind you of these things because I know that we forget these things, right? And so you need to be reminded of the truths that you get in God's word. You never conquer it. You never get it all. You never come to the point where you go, I think I've mastered that. I think I've got that under control. No, you continue to go deeper and you go out. Out is the way your root system connects with the root systems of other believers. And together you form that strong bond where when the wind comes along, nothing can tear you apart and nothing can tear you down. How cool is that? Now I want you to see one final thing here that he says here. This, again, the whole series we could do on Joshua, and you should in your Bible study. But watch this. How do you make those root systems go deeper? Well, God tells him in verse 8. He didn't just tell him to obey. He says in verse 8, this book of the law. Now, what is he talking about there? He's talking about Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's all they had. That's all the Bible that existed in that day. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all that is written within. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. So the way for us to be strong is to, if you will, marinate your mind in the Word of God and continue to receive the truth that God has for you and me in His Word. And that comes through your own reading and your own study of the Bible, but also comes through hearing podcasts and watching podcasts like this and watching other pastors, maybe going to a conference or whatever, going to church. If there's a good, really good teacher of the Word, I'm not talking about some milquetoast man up front telling you how to have a happy life. I'm talking about somebody who can open the Bible and tell you what God says about what about how you should be in your life, and about what character you should have in your life, and about how you should raise your children, and how you should be married. All these things, come from God because He's the author of all these things, right? You need to be receiving input from those things, and just like you do food, you know. Sometimes you snack, then you have a meal. Guess what? You need both, right? Sometimes you snack on truth, sometimes you devour truth, but you need to have a steady diet of it. So he says to meditate. The word meditate just means to think over and over again. Think about it. Think about it. That's all you need to do. When you hear something, write it down, think about it, and just meditate on that. This morning, I was lying in bed just thinking about some truth. And you know, when you think about it and you meditate on it, it's not like, you know, Eastern meditation. Just means to think over it again. Like a cow chews its cud, you know, that's exactly what it means. So think about the truth that you've been taught, and then think about internalizing that, how to apply that truth into your life. Meditate on it day and night. That's a euphemism. That's a way of saying, just have it as a part of your life rhythm. You know, don't just set specific times, but let it inform. Oh, you're fixing a snack for your kids. Let those truths inform that, the way that you treat your kids. Or you're going to the grocery store, or you're at work or at the office, or you're out in the field, or whatever it is you're doing. Let the Word of God impact that. He says, if you'll do that, if you'll obey what you've meditated on, he says, you're going to have success in my eyes. Now, in this instance here, success meant conquering those cities, okay? Success in your life doesn't mean you're going to be, you know, famously rich or, you know, incredibly successful at your job. You may not be, but it does mean you're going to be a success with God. So keep in mind that God wants you to be successful in your heart, for your character, for your family. That's where His priority is. And if you do that, there's a good chance that character and that hard work ethic is going to bleed over in your business. So yeah, you'll probably have success there too. But God's not promising money here. He's promising success of the heart. Then verse 9, we'll close there. God says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Third time he said this to him. Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. Why? Why should not tremble or be dismayed in this world, God? It says, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And that is the promise we saw last time, but that's the promise that we have, is that God goes with us. Wherever we go, we take Him with us. He is our constant companion. And when we're carrying Him with us in our lives, in His Word, in our hearts, and in our minds, then we have that success that He's talking about. And we don't have to be afraid of what lies ahead. You know what? Probably not a good chance that there's a tribe over the hill that's waiting to kill you today. I mean, you may live in a dangerous part of a city, I don't know, but probably not going to happen. You know what is out there? All the things that cause you worry and all the things that cause you anxiety, things that are threats to your, not only your peace, but your happiness and your relationship with God. God says, no, You be strong, you be courageous. God says, I guarantee you we are going to overcome those things that are out there. But it only happens when we have his word in us, we depend on his presence that is also with us, and we obey and act upon those things that we claim to believe in. And when that happens, then we have success in God's eyes. Be strong and courageous today as you exercise your faith. I'll see you next time on the Vintage Truth Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.